sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, we're in Jude, verse 6, page 20 of your notes. Jude, verse 6. All right, let's take the customary time to get ourselves or keep ourselves in fellowship, as the case may be. This is your responsibility as a believer. This is the only way that any of us can make spiritual progress, is we have to be in sync with God the Holy Spirit, who indwells all believers, but only believers who are in fellowship can be, if they're positive, can be taught Bible doctrine. So let's take the usual time to prepare ourselves. Let us pray. Oh, Father, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We thank you that our faith in Jesus Christ has overcome the world. We thank you for the prospect of eternal salvation and all that it will bring us into. We ask that you bless our time together as we continue to study your word, the things that are important, the mind of Christ. Be with us in our study. In Christ's name, amen. All right. Verse 6. We dealt with the Exodus generation Sunday. The generation that came out of Egypt, the first generation of the Jewish of the Jewish nation. They became a nation at Mount Sinai. They came out of Egypt, and God judged the Egyptians and the Egyptian nation. He made it a shambles. This was the most powerful nation on earth at the time. The richest, most powerful nation was Egypt, and they were slaves in Egypt. And because, what's wrong? All right, don't look at me like that then. And so they were brought out of Egypt. They were brought out of Egypt and saw all these miracles. And all of them got out. Nobody fell by the wayside. The Pharaoh plundered the Egyptians. They took everything that they could. And they took a lot of wealth, back pay, for enslaving them for no good reason. And so, you know, it's called poetic justice. You get what you do. And if you persist in it, then this is what happens. Well, the Exodus generation was a failed generation. What I mean by that is they spiritually stumbled all the way, all through their time in the wilderness, and God had to take them all out. All of the Exodus generation, anybody that was 20 and up, except for two guys. They didn't act like the rest of them and flunk every test and act up in incredible ways. This is, again, a lesson for all of us, that believers that do not faith rest things, believers who do not trust God, and he's the same, he's always the same, and he will help you and I with any situation if we will trust in him, put our faith in him, and move forward. He will not leave us high and dry. He'll take care of us. Yes, we will be tested, but the testing is for our good. That whole generation was taken out before their time. They missed out on what? They missed out on phase two blessing. They were supposed to be in the wilderness 2 years, leaving their homes in Goshen, their regular physical homes, and to live in tents for 2 years. But because they flunked 10 tests in 2 years, they were penalized another 38 years. And I gave you the reason for that. They all died off. Not one of them. God took an oath by himself. So he destroyed a generation of corrupt believers. Now the next example, because the whole background of this, is that false teachers will be judged. They'll be taken out. And so, verse 6, and the angels who did not keep their own domain All right? Excuse me. And is a coordinating conjunction. An enclitic particle means likewise the angels, angels, plural, angelos, who did not keep their own domain. Did not keep. We have here the negative with the definite article with the aorist participle of the verb to keep, tereo. They did not keep their own. That's the reflexive pronoun heautu. And the word domain is the definite article with the noun arche. Arche means primary, it can be primacy, first, original, here, their own domain. But abandoned, strong adversity of Allah, but abandoned, aorist participle of apolipo, means to leave behind, desert, or abandon, their proper abode, one's own. And the word abode is oikerion, which it means habitation. Here, and it's used twice here in 2 Corinthians 5:2. He, God, has kept in eternal bonds, has kept, tereo, in everlasting, ideos, bonds, desmos, dative plural noun, under darkness, hupo, under, preposition, and the word darkness is the word sophos, which means gloom, a realm of gloom or darkness, for the judgment of the great day, for the judgment, krisis, of the great, megas, day, hemera, the day of the Lord. Okay, one. The second example of encouragement and warning, like the first, is introduced by the weak connective to and. Again, the particle is used to indicate closely related concepts within a context. It could be translated likewise or similarly. Four, this is Peter's first example of notorious behavior. Off the wall, way out there, misbehavior in 2 Peter 2:4. The identity of these particular angels is based on the exegesis of Genesis 6 and its comparison with 1 Peter 3, 19 through 20. So, in order to understand what he is referencing here, one has to be familiar with the information in Genesis chapter 6. Let's check this out here. These fallen angels were engaged in an operation, in an attempt to do something to shut down the line of Christ. These angels, well, I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit. The First Peter passage is basically saying that following, and I pointed this out to somebody recently, a one-on-one, that Jesus Christ went to the underworld twice. When he died physically, his soul went there, but not obviously his body. This isn't when he made the proclamation. The proclamation is not going to have effect unless he comes down there in his resurrection body. So, he did that late on Sunday of the day of the resurrection, when he was having a meal with a couple disciples who didn't recognize him until they looked at him. I don't know how you missed him. You've seen him all that time. But anyway, they're so downcast, thinking this whole thing fell apart, typical of the disciples of the time. None of them were on top of the fact that he made it very clear that he was going to die and that he was going to be raised on the third day. Now, can you not understand that? So they should have been all in full anticipation, but they weren't. They were cowering. They were feeling bad. And these two disciples walking down the road, the Emmaus Road highway, they run into this stranger. And they start talking about what just occurred with regard to this. And this stranger, Jesus, is bringing out all these details about the Old Testament and the fulfillment of it. And they're kind of buoyed up a little bit. They take him into their home and offer him a meal. And when he is breaking bread, he must have had a distinctive way of breaking bread. When he was tearing it or breaking it, they realized it was him. And he just suddenly disappeared from their presence. And they went running back to the disciples and saying, "He's alive." And Jesus went down to Sheol in the center of the earth in his resurrection body and made a victorious proclamation to the spirits in prison. And that's here in Peter. Having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit, in which also he went and made proclamation to the spirits now in prison, who once were disobedient, when the patience of God kept waiting in the days of Noah, during the construction of the ark, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were brought safely through the water. Okay, so, 6. First, we must dispense with the notion that these angels are all fallen angels in mass, and the related idea that Jude here refers to the fall of angels. Satan and his angels were originally created perfect or sinless. The subject in Ezekiel 28:12-17 is the origin of Lucifer and his perfection in every way. But pride was his downfall. As you know, pride of what? Pride of appearance. A lot of people suffer from that. He was impressed with the way he looked. He committed a mental attitude sin. He didn't do anything overtly. But the minute he fell from sinless perfection, he was removed from the throne room. Following Satan's fall from sinless perfection and his demotion from being the anointed cherub who covers, he solicited the angelic race, and 1/3 of all angels became like him. Revelation 12:4. 1/3 of all the elect angels listened to his revolutionary propaganda. God let him do it. This was the test for the whole angelic race. That was their singular test. And 2/3 of them passed it, and 1/3 joined Satan. That's why we have fallen angels, demons, and the rest. God sentenced the fallen angels to the lake of fire, but has not carried out the sentence. Matthew 25:41. We categorize these angels as free fallen angels. 12. All the biblical evidence points to the fact that Satan and his angels, except for those specified in 1 and 2 Peter and Jude, have never been and are not in hell. Contrary to widespread thinking that Satan's in hell. He is not in hell. He has never been in hell yet. That's just factual information. Yet 2 Peter 2 and 4 and Jude 1 and 6 speaks of angels who are imprisoned in the underworld beneath the earth. The angels are the sons of God, Genesis 6:2-4. The designation is found only 5 times in the Old Testament, twice in Genesis, 3 times in Job. The Job references are unequivocally in reference to angels and not humans, sons of God. It's never used that way in the New Testament. Sons of God in the New Testament are believers. All angels were created by the Son of God. He is the creator of all things, seen and unseen. And as God's creatures, they are properly called sons of God, offspring of God, as per those 2 verses. According to Job 38:7, they were created before the physical universe of Genesis 1:1, the physical earth and all that's involved. They were there. They saw it. They were in it. They were suspended in space. There was nothing else physical. And they saw our earth and all the particulars put in place. I don't think it happened just like that. I think it was a process. That's just me. And as this was happening, they were all celebrating and singing joyfully, the whole angelic race, which who knows what the kind of numbers we're talking about here. It was an unbelievable choir event. So they became culpable. They saw what we believe by faith. We believe by faith. We didn't see it. We weren't there to witness it, obviously. No human being was. So they got to see the physical creation, Earth 1, and all the real estate of heaven and all that was involved in this. We'll get to see Earth 2 come into existence. We'll get to experience the same event once Earth 1 is taken out. Okay, here's where we're at. Because they were eyewitnesses, and because they had this kind of information, and those who rebelled later and followed Satan, they were offered no salvation package. That's in Hebrews. There's no salvation package for the angels. They had their chance. They went up against the obvious. God is who He is, the Creator, and it isn't Satan. They owed their existence to God. And yet, Satan and one third of them eventually revolted and were cast down to the earth. Now, the angels of Genesis 6, this is the one to wrap your head around. Cohabited, had sex with beautiful women of their choosing, of the pre-flood or antediluvian era, producing a super race of demigods whose legends prevail in the mythology of the ancients. This was carried over, and then you had this whole mixed up thing with deities having physical relations with regular humans. You see it all through the pagan system. These false claims. The hybrid race of half angel, half man, if that's accurate, is mentioned in passing in Genesis chapter 6, verse 4. Of course, the event of Genesis 6, we're getting to the reasons why they did this, and it's probably obvious to all of you because you've heard it repeatedly. The Nephilim were on the earth in those days. And also afterward, when the sons of God, these are fallen angels, came in to the daughters of men, and they bore children to them. These children, that's the last sentence there, were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. When did this start? After, in that period from the creation of Adam to the flood. When did this occur? Around midpoint. I think it did. Around midpoint. Things really got heated up. Now, what is Satan's objective? He didn't participate directly in it, but certainly he was the author of this idea. The thing that's difficult for people to get their head around, but we just have to accept it by faith, and that's that an angel can transform themselves and be like a human in every respect. Well, we see examples in the Bible of the Lord and two angels sitting down and having a meal with Abraham. So they're eating food. That's a human function. Not because any of those guests needed food, but they can consume it. And they can transform themselves into all kinds of different forms. Not just humans. So what is built into these angels is mind-boggling as a race, the doctrine of angels. And to take it to this next step, Satan's objective was to contaminate the human gene pool. And eventually, this is his vain idea, frustrate the promise of Genesis 3:15. See, he catches on to stuff. He understood. He was there in the garden when this was said. You know, when he possessed Eve's pet. He was there in the garden. He's listening. And in the garden, the Lord who called out all three parties involved in this, Adam, Eve, and Satan, when he called them out, he evangelized Adam and Eve right there. In one day, they went from perfection, sinless perfection as humans, to sinners needing salvation, to believers. They accepted the doctrine, the primitive doctrine of the seed of the woman. That a woman would give birth to the Messiah in time. And of course we know that's Mary and so forth. A supernatural birth. He didn't say the seed of the man. He said the seed of the woman. So he recognized this and came up with this elaborate scheme to contaminate the gene pool. Had he been successful, he would have won the angelic conflict by default. But God always shuts these things down before they do the damage that they were intended. But his scheme was cut short by the Noahic flood, in which the hybrid race, part angel, part human, was destroyed along with the rest of humanity, minus the eight souls that embarked. The perpetrators were cast into Tartarus. That's a Greek term, Tartarus, a specific area to be distinguished from Hades and Paradise. It was a specific holding area where these angels that took these women and had children by them, they were cast into Tartarus, as I just read, 2 Peter 2:4. Literally, the word chains, that's how you imprison people. You put them in chains, restraints. So obviously theirs is, they can't get out of there. Even though they're angels, they are, God holds them there. The chains of the gloom of Tartarus. In a place which, according to Greek mythology, the Titans were consigned. See, they picked up on these stories. The thing I like about it is there's a kernel of truth that they have. They just have this old storyline messed up. That's in Greek mythology. That's where the Titans went. And so anyway, Jesus Christ, as noted, in his resurrection body, visited Sheol and made a victorious proclamation to these demon spirits, angels, according to 1 Peter 3:18 and 20. It's called rubbing salt in the wounds. They've been here all these centuries. They're not like the other fallen angels that can run amok and do stuff. They're taken out of circulation. They're put in prison. They're stuck. And then Jesus Christ appears in his resurrection body and makes a victorious proclamation that the scheme failed. The whole thing failed. The proclamation rubbed salt in their wounds, as it was obvious that Satan had been unsuccessful in all his attempts to frustrate and contaminate the line of Christ. Because it's all these people from that point on forward that would be the males in the line of Christ. He wanted to spread this stuff everywhere, this angelic DNA, and it didn't work because the flood hit. It was shut down at the flood. So if that's the case, that means that there were a bunch of these Nephilim on the face of the earth, these part angel, part humans. We'll have to get the full story when we get to heaven. Maybe they'll do a video on it. Maybe not. The angels in prison since the flood will be briefly released to carry out a 5-month terror campaign upon those who take the mark of the beast, Revelation 9, 5, and 10. But they won't come down as attractive males. You can go read that in that passage. Because I don't know of any other things that would come up out of the pit. There's no record of any other angels being taken out of circulation. I keep an open mind on it, but there's no other record. There is so much we don't know about the pre-flood situation and the civilizations that they built on earth. They lived a long time. Things were different. Things were bigger. There was, and some of this stuff that they're finding, have we found the lost city of Atlantis? The bottom of the ocean? Quite possibly. Might have been the big city. Because they started building cities. And with all the bad things that can go with that type of activity and structures. You got these mighty men, the feats of strength that they can do is unlike anything we've ever seen. They're offspring. And they loved violence. There was all of this going on while Noah was protected and building this ark as impending judgment. This does not violate the fact that they are in eternal bonds. Satan, who is imprisoned during the 1,000 years, he too will be released for a brief period, according to Revelation 21 and 2, especially verse 7, and also compare verse 7. So he's going to be taken out of circulation, along with all the fallen angels and demons and all the rest of them. So that during the millennium, you won't have anybody demon-possessed or demon-influenced. None of it. It'll be if the human race screws up, they do it strictly on their own. By being negative. These bonds are eternal, as there is no escaping this state. 34, it is a gloomy realm to add to the misery and to reflect the spiritual condition of the prisoners. The judgment of the great day of God refers to the great white throne judgment, coming between the dissolution of original creation, taking it out, and just before the new creation, Revelation 20, 11 through 15. You and I will be there to eyewitness it like the angels were of old. We will watch. The whole human race will watch Earth 1 taken out. Because you've got to resurrect the dead, the unbelieving dead. If you're going to take the whole earth out, then their remains are taken out. But God pulls together the remains, no matter how far wide they're scattered and whatever has happened to them. He pulls all that together and gives all these unbelievers through all of history their bodies back and puts their souls back in their bodies. And for a minute, they are physically not suffering because they're out of there. And they're brought before the great white throne judgment and it is pointed out to them why they're going to be confined to the lake of fire. Out of two sets of books, a book of life, your name isn't written in it. You are not foreknown. And your works are not good enough to save you. Your good deeds, whatever you were impressed with. So they will all know this. This is monumental beyond what anybody can wrap their head around. But God can pull these things off. That's all we have to understand. Jude, like Peter, Jude, like Peter, does not give specific information on the nature of the crime that has rendered them powerless over the centuries since the flood. Peter simply mentions the fact they sinned. Well, there's a lot of ways you can sin. Jude's somewhat redundant statement refers to them as who did not keep their own domain, but abandon their proper abode. The noun domain, when used in relation to time, means beginning, Matthew 19:14, when used of anything, means the first. Hebrews 2:3. When used in relation to rank, rule, Ephesians 1:21, and when used of being with authority, it means ruler. By engaging in sexual relations with humans, these angels did not keep their call to perpetual celibacy. Under our doctrine of angels, all angels, contrary to what the cosmos puts out, are all male gender. And because of their calling and their position, they didn't have female wives, angels, and they were not to engage in relations with human beings. They had to know this. They did it. A group of them were singled out and did it. I think some of this is referred to, and I'm not putting a stamp of approval on it, in the book, the Jewish book of Enoch. I'm not saying this is all, but the story is in there. So they did not keep or guard their calling when they materialized themselves and took wives from the human race. Genesis 6 is very brief on this. Angels do not propagate themselves. Matthew 22:30. And furthermore, they do not die. Luke 20:36, like humans do. They are a fixed number from creation, and they are all of the male gender. These sexual liaisons were as abhorrent to God as the so-called homosexual unions of today. The only difference with them is they could produce offspring, a hybrid, mighty men of old. The term in the Hebrew Bible is Nephilim. So those were some, and of course, all their antics and whatever all they did before the flood. They were not nice guys. They were not nice, strong guys. So their sin is akin to bestiality, sex with animals, prohibited in the Bible, as they cross the boundary between the levels of creation. The phrase, but abandoned, their proper abode, further brings this out. The noun proper abode only occurs here and in 2 Corinthians 5:2, where the body is the proper abode of the living soul, the human body. 49, the liberals of the last days are placed in the same category of notorious sinners with the fornicating angels of Genesis 6. 50, they will be remembered as a threat that while doing untold damage in the end, is exposed and shut down dramatically. The flood. Shut that down. And they didn't try it again. I don't have any evidence that they tried that again. Because these angels, these are alert, intelligent beings. And they know that a number of their own are no longer with us. Some of the demons of Jesus' day when he cast them out were afraid that they were going to be taken out of circulation right then and there. Are you going to judge us before the great day? See, they know this. They know this, that out there in the future is their final doom in which all fallen angels, along with Satan, will be confined forever in the lake of fire. That's their final destination. Satan will spend 1,000 years and the angels with him, fallen angels, the 1,000 years they'll be taken out of circulation. The earth will not have to put up with that. There'd be a far different world if we didn't have to put up with that. It doesn't make people positive. There will be people in the millennium that won't even become believers. A bunch of them. And that's mind-boggling, isn't it? With Christ on earth and you're rubbing elbows with people in a resurrection body, who's got all these abilities, that doesn't matter. It's what I've said over and over again many, many times. If a person is predisposed, to negative volition, there is no amount of evidence that can get them to snap out of it. None. People should have been believing right and left during the ministry of Jesus Christ. And there were a lot of them that did, but way far more didn't. And they saw everything. Jesus said, blessed are those who haven't seen and believed. That'd be you and I and all the rest of us that weren't there during that time frame and in Israel. To get to see one-on-one Jesus doing all these miracles. John in his gospel says he did many more things than are recorded in these gospels. Many more deeds to the benefit of humanity. Healings, exorcisms. Their activities will be halted as they face the judgments of the tribulation. They, here, referring to the final generation of these corrupt teachers that are everywhere, embedded in churches, in institutions, and all over the place. They're all over out there. They'd like nothing more than to drag you down and convince you that up is down and down is up. And all whether it's in the name of science, whether it's the name of religion, philosophy, whatever it is, these are all out there, and they have done a lot of damage. But they should not do any damage to you and I, because we have sound doctrine and we brush it off, see it for what it is. In other words, they will be they were eyewitnesses to original creation. Okay. Excuse me. 51. Their activities, the angels, will be halted as they face the judgments of the trib. Okay. Next time, the third and final example, the judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us in Christ's name. Amen.